comes the bride with a knife that's 1 inch wide. Where is the groom dead in the dressing room?
Stabbed in the heart because death do us part.
Hello and welcome to Death Do Us Part. I'm Laura.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we are here to talk about pets.
That's right. Pet rescue. There's lots of pets out there that need rescuing. And I think you know one, Laura.
I do, actually. We had a cat at our house for 2 weeks that we were fostering so it could get neutered, so it could go to a shelter that has foster families, so it wasn't just like at a shelter sitting in a cage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And or until we could get somebody we knew to take it, but we could not find anyone who wanted another cat. So,
and you found that cat because
I did not find the cat.
Your sister, my wife, was like, "Oh, Laura, did you know that there's a cat that somebody's trying to kick out of their house? It's so sad." And she didn't ask you to come and get it, but we all know.
No, my pet peeve this week is her. It's actually not my husband. It's her because she said that your neighbor who was like messaging her about the cat was like, "Do you know anybody who'd take a cat?" And she was like, "My sister loves cats, probably too much."
Fact.
But she's got too many animals and too many children in her house, and she cannot have another cat. And then your neighbor was like, "I saw them kicking the cat." And she was like, "Well, I'm about to ruin Laura's day." And so she took a screenshot of that message and she sent it to me and was like, "Look, there's this really nice cat and they're kicking it." And I was like, "Well, fuck." And then literally 8 minutes later, I was outside of your house, like just stealing this cat in front of the freaking woman who owned it. She was just standing across the street, like watching me. And I was like eye contacting with her, like, "Hello, I'm putting your cat in my car." She was just like chilling. I was like, "Is she going to come and kick me?" And they were like, "No, I don't think she cares." And I was like, "Great." And so then I just took this cat home while she watched me steal it. I've never stolen something in front of the person who owned it before.
So Kelly conned you into rescuing the cat because you have cats and cat stuff, you know.
We do have like a bunch of cat stuff, like bonus cat stuff. We have extra because now we have like the world's most fancy, expensive iRobot of a litter box. So I had like an old litter box that we keep just in case ours like breaks because it's robotic. And then we have like a pet feeder that feeds them a certain amount of food every like 2 hours or something. So we also have backup bowls in case that breaks. And then we have like a fancy cat water fountain. So I also have backup like water bowls. So like our cats are rich, spoiled brats. And so this cat had to deal with like their leftover, like from when we were poor versions of stuff.
Well, it's better than getting kicked. So after you took the cat, the grandmother that lives in the cul-de-sac here was talking to that lady saying, and she told us later that she was so thrilled that someone took the cat. And I don't know if you probably heard the whole story, but I guess it was her son's cat and like his girlfriend's, and they moved out and didn't take the cat with them. And she didn't want to take care of this cat. So she was trying to get it to leave her house instead of just taking it to a shelter like a normal human being. She just decided to have it be in the garage and not let it in the house ever. And so it was just trying to find a new home. One of our scout meetings, it literally grabbed onto one of the mom's purses who was sitting there while I was teaching the kids. And she picked up her purse to like kind of shake it off. The thing just held on bloody murder with the eyes that said, "Take me with you."
So when we went to your house one time, the cat, like we were getting out of the car and I opened the trunk of our car to get like Calvin's sleepover stuff out or whatever. And then like the cat just was like jumping into our car, like, "I'll be out here so you can take me home." And I was like, "I'm sorry."
Well, at least the cat.
And so I kicked it out of our car, but I should have known like it was a sign because literally like 2 weeks later, I was putting the damn thing back in my car.
It was a sign. But at least it's in better hands now with a very good shelter. You guys have helped clean it up, take care of it, get it neutered. And I'm sure it'll be adopted in no time.
Oh, it was, if I could get rid of everybody else who lives here, I would have kept that cat. It was the sweetest cat. Like, Owen would just, like, the baby, our baby, would just lay on it. And it would just lay there, like, living the dream. And then it would play with the dog for, like, hours and hours and hours. And both of them were just, like, having the best time. But my two other cats freaking hated it because they're old and crotchety. And it would be like, play with me. And they were like, we are not having this. And they would just look at me with these faces like, the fuck, woman? It used to be just us. And you keep inviting all these other things here. What is wrong with you?
Your millennial cats were just harshly judging your new Gen Z cat.
Yep. Well, oh, it's not Gen Z though. It's Gen Alpha because it's a baby. It was like one.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
Like what the new generation.
We'll see if that sticks. Well, I'm glad you rescued that animal and saved its life. Probably. I'm also glad for our patron Jimmy Fuquay at the Jimmy Fuquay on Instagram. You can find us at deathdoispartpodcast.com, at DeedupCast on Instagram and Twitter, and email us at deedup.podcast@gmail.com. So, what murders do you have, Laura, related to pet rescue? I know we've talked about pets in the past, but pet rescue is a little different.
Yeah, this isn't actually really like a pet rescue, except for this woman tried to use her pet to rescue her from jail.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So this is in Indiana, and authorities got a call from 85-year-old Betty Green in 2014, and she was claiming that her daughter-in-law, Deanie Green, called her with a strange story about her son, Ray Green. And so Deanie had called Betty, who was like her mother-in-law, or I guess her ex-mother-in-law. They were not together. And she called and she said that their dog, Jazzy, who is a German Shepherd, had killed Ray yesterday. And Deanie said that their dog attacked Ray, bit his throat, and killed him. And Betty was like, the fuck? And so she tried to get in touch with Ray directly and like called him and stuff and couldn't talk to him. So then she requested a wellness check from the police. And so the police went to the place where Deanie and Ray lived, and they couldn't find Ray and they couldn't find the dog anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they questioned Deanie and she tells them a completely different story. She's like, oh, Ray's not dead. Like, Betty, that woman's crazy. He's out on the road working as a trucker. And the police were like, okay. And then they basically turned around and like Ray's trucking truck, like his giant wheeler, 16, I don't know how many wheels they have, 16, six?
Something like that.
Eight?
Yeah.
Eight. That 16? Sounds reasonable.
Some of them are doubled up.
Okay, well, his, I think when they're at their house,
wow,
it's only
we are uneducated on trucking.
I don't know enough about trucking. And I have a book that literally has different like types of trucks, and you lift the flap and it's, you're supposed to count how many wheels there are. And like, there's a truck, like a freight truck or whatever in this book. And I've read how many wheels it has so many times and I can't remember right now.
18 wheelers.
When they're at home and you're not like hauling something, it's just the little front part that has like four wheels, like mm-hmm. the little tiny, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
the actual truck.
Anyways, his actual truck was like sitting in plain sight, like in the driveway, and they were like, okay. So they traced Ray's cell phone location, which they wound up finding that it was pinging on the property. So then Deanie was like, well, you can search anywhere you want to except for this large metal box. And there was like this large metal toolbox that was sitting yards away from her front door. And they were like, that's not suspicious at all. They, I think eventually like, were like, okay, you can't do that. And so I believe that they had to get a search warrant. So they finally could get a search warrant to open the toolbox. And inside was the body of Ray Green. And so then again, she was like, the dog attacked him and actually killed him, and I was trying to protect my dog that no one can find, and they don't know where it is. And they took out the body of Ray, and they were like, I'm sorry, he's been shot 10 times.
That dog is gangster.
Yeah, and so Danny also was like a skilled shooter. She had this whole entire history. It was actually how she met Ray, was she did this cowboy action shooting, which is like a shooting discipline that's based on guns of the Old West. And they shoot guns like originals or replicas, and they do like dress up as the part in like period accurate clothing. And they shoot at targets, and it's like a full on competition of people who shoot like they live in cowboy times.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So, so that's how she met Ray, is both of them were into this. And so they were like, you are a skilled shooter. We know this. And the bullets are the same kind of bullets that are used in the cowboy action shooting that she would do. And also, like, your dog Jazzy cannot pull the trigger of a gun. And so she was arrested, and Jazzy has never been found.
So she killed Jazzy, too.
Yeah. So she killed her husband, also then killed her dog, tried to blame her husband's death on her dog, hit her husband in a toolbox for a little while, and then was like, yeah, my dog did that. My dog shot him 10 times.
And in between that, she's like, you can search my home, just not that box. Don't touch that.
You can
box.
Search anywhere anything except else. For that giant totally box right there. It's chill.
Now, this is not the truth. What happened is they were training Jazzy to be in their gun show, the first dog gunslinger of all time. A terrible accident happened. Jazzy shot him 10 times. And then
ran away.
Deep depression. Jazzy marched out into the forest and shot.
Never to be seen again.
Itself in the head.
They probably edited a gun so that instead of like having to pull a trigger, she could shoot it. It was like hooked to her shoulder, and she would shoot it when she barked. But then a squirrel ran by, and she lost her ever loving shit. And then the gun just kept going.
Barked 10 times.
Yeah.
Poor
Anyways, I feel bad both for Ray, the husband, who got shot 10 times, but also the dog that she tried to use as like a weird scapegoat. When it was so very obvious that it was not.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Not well thought through, that's for sure.
No. Also, though, if you don't think that I'm about to go down a rabbit hole of cowboy style shooting YouTube videos.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't already.
I know. I didn't have time yet because my hypothetical murder, I went into like a deep rabbit hole on that. So I couldn't do both in the time frame that I had. I had to choose which was more interesting.
Alice had to pick a rabbit hole to follow.
Yes.
Well, one of my two stories that I have for you starts off with a Florida woman, as many great stories start. There was a couple with domestic issues. One night they had this really big argument, no resolution. And they say, don't go to bed angry. And well, later that night, the wife, Sherry White, woke up her husband and then told him that she had stabbed his dog. And I can't think of much more horrifying than being woken up in the middle of the night, aside from a child who just stares at you and then you wake up just from feeling their vision. That's pretty horrifying too.
But that's then, me and my children right there.
Yeah, exactly. But your wife, like, waking you up and whispering, I just stabbed your dog.
Yeah.
Then you know that you're in danger. Well, the dog was not part of the problem. And Jake, the name of the dog, was stabbed 10 times with a kitchen knife.
Stop. I hate that.
She was arrested for aggravated animal abuse. And at the time when they were bringing her in, the sheriff showed photos of the dog and the knife right before he personally took her into jail. They filmed it. And it was like a commercial they were filming. But they used this woman as they brought her in, had a whole production of it as like a PSA.
Like, don't shoot dogs?
Yeah, like animal abuse is not okay. And this sheriff is not going to stand for it in this Florida county. The husband called a friend after this happened. who came over. They tried to save his dog Jake's life, but they were unable to. The bond for the woman was only $2,000 because at the end of the day, it's an animal. It's not a person. But the sheriff said he would do everything, which I thought was great of the sheriff. He stepped up and he's like, I'm going to do everything in my power to work with legislators to see if we can increase that. And it was not the first time in the sheriff's county that this has happened. He talked about how, you know, it's despicable and disgraceful and he hates to see it. So he used this as a PSA of sorts, saying, if you do this to a helpless animal, you are going to go to jail. He has a zero tolerance policy. Yeah, he was
like cracking down a little harder.
Yeah, yeah, he really was, because the laws aren't very strong for animal abuse. And but honestly, it was also like I feel like it was a threat on her husband's life a little bit.
Right? It was kind of like you know how they say a lot of serial killers like start out by mm-hmm. hurting yeah. animals? It definitely had this like, you're next vibe.
Yeah, exactly. So she basically stabbed his dog 10 times because they had an argument that night. That is not a stable human being.
No, that's nuts.
Now, my next terrible animal story for you. And of course, these are related to animal rescue because these animals needed some rescuing. But the next story is about Charles Van Pelt and his wife, Lauren Van Pelt.
Already frowning.
I know. He dropped his wife off at work one day, just like normal. And not long after she was dropped off, she got a call from her neighbor saying she had to get home immediately. Charles' brother was actually their neighbor, and he caught Charles on security camera calmly walking up to their little dog and then stomping it to death. Less than 15 minutes later, after the neighbor or her brother-in-law called her, the wife arrived with her coworker, and he was just standing there near the dog, like staring at it, lifeless, emotionless. And he told her, there's your killer dog right there. Her friend picked up the dog and rushed it to her car and to the vet. The dog survived about a day.
No,
but later had to be put down.
You just lifted my hopes so high, Jeremy.
Well, it did survive, but it had too much pain and physical harm that it wasn't capable of living a good life.
That was so cruel.
I didn't mean to do that. It was just a page break at part of that sentence, and I had to look down at the next line.
No. Oh my God. I was literally like, I can't believe that dog survived. Like, this is an I Survived story. They should make a TV episode on this. My soul is rising. Everything's going to be okay. It survived a day.
I'm sorry. It's been a while since I wrote these notes.
Clearly. Anyway. Yeah, I thought you did it on
purpose. The video is crazy. Like
crushing my spirit.
Like, they didn't post the whole video, but they show him like walking up to the cage and he just looks like he's a zombie. Like, there's no anger. There's not even any anger or tears, you know?
You know that it was the Netflix special that was like, don't fuck with cats. And there was like that video of the guy who actually murdered a person and put them in the suitcase or whatever. I can't think of his name, nor do I want to, but he killed a cat like on his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Just for like the notoriety.
That was dark.
And it was like that. He just like didn't care and was like super chill about it the whole time.
And I don't know what it is about animals. Maybe because they aren't evil like some human beings can be. Like, animals aren't evil.
No, not inherently.
No, they're really not. And like, yeah, they kill things and then they eat them.
For survival, though, not just like
they don't just for kill no things reason to be because mean. They're angry.
Except for dolphins.
I mean, dolphins can do some.
Actually,
fucked up
there's a lot of sea animals and like sea creatures, like otters too, do some real fucked up shit. But yeah,
the
I don't
smarter
think a lot
you
of them
get
have
as
the
an
same,
animal, the more likely
the
you
more
are
fucked
evil.
Up shit you do.
But that's why it's like it almost hits you so much harder, like that don't fuck with cats. I was like on the verge of tears. I don't think they showed the whole thing.
No, they cut it
off.
But
like just getting it ready and knowing that he's sucking the oxygen out. It's,
I know.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway, this happened
it
back
in...
It
makes me get, like, sweaty. Like, when I think about it, even thinking about, like, the dachshund and him walking up to the cage, it makes me sweaty.
So, this happened in February in Columbus, Georgia. And so, it hasn't been fully resolved yet, but it's a felony offense, which in that city in Georgia... there's a minimum penalty of 1 year jail time.
Still, just a year?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a very long time. Especially for, like, I mean, there's no empathy. That's the scariest part. He was never angry. He didn't yell. He was calm, emotionless. And after the fact, you know, people said, yeah, he didn't like his wife's dog. He said his wife loved the dog
but
more than him.
Was he having... Okay, I was going to say, was they, like, in a fight? Or was there some sort of, like, thing going on? Or was he just like, I'm a terrible human being?
It seemed like jealousy. Right? Because he said... He before he killed the dog, he said his wife loved the dog more than she loved him. Then after she got there, he said something like, there is your killer dog right there. Like... I'm assuming he means like an awesome, there's your awesome dog right there. There's your killer dog right there.
Oh, I assumed he meant like he wanted like some big, like German Shepherd, like attack, like dog. And she like got them this tiny little dachshund. No. And he was like, basically like, here's your like guard dog sort of thing.
He was just jealous. He was jealous of a dog.
And a tiny little dog. That's so stupid. You have to have a lot of insecurities to be like that.
A lot of insecurities, a lack of emotion. I mean, you can't do that sort of thing without detaching from your humanity. But to me, both of these events are like precursors to human murder, just as you said. Like, that's usually the first step. And I feel like the people were somewhat lucky that... their spouses were so obvious about it and doing it in such a dramatic way that they were caught. Because if they had done it to,
like a squirrel,
a homeless
or like
animal,
not their pet,
and then eventually it slowly escalated in secrecy, then it may have been easily the one wife's husband that she stabbed while he was asleep, or he may have beaten his wife to death. Because he was jealous of the dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, I use the term lucky
or they
for
could
the
have,
humans, but
they could have been
animals.
Like Danny, who just killed two birds with one stone and did it at the same time.
Yes. Or like that. But yeah, that's terrible. I hope that these couples have separated. As we often recommend, you should separate before something terrible happens. And if there's not a bigger red flag than your spouse killing in cold blood your precious pet, there's no bigger red flag. You need to get out of
that relationship. I don't understand how you could like look at them the same way after that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they would be so dead to me. I would be so angry.
So that'll just bring the mood down because it's rightfully depressing.
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear my hypothetical murder that I went down a deep wormhole on?
I want to hear that. Mine's not super deep. Mine's pretty simple. So I want to hear something complicated and crazy.
Mine's not necessarily complicated and crazy. Just the amount of research I put into it is a little crazy.
Well, I appreciate research.
I originally read this article about this woman who died and then her cat, ate her body. And it was like an older woman who didn't have like family that was close to her really. And nobody that she interacted with, frequently. So like, basically it could have been a story of like her cat was going to starve. And so to survive, it ate her. And so then I was like, well, like, do your cats have to be starving to want to eat you? Or like, would cats just, you know, eat you? And what I found was there's actually a growing amount of research about this. There is even a book by a mortician that's called Would Fluffy Eat Me If I Drop Dead? Amazing. Can't wait to read that. And there's scientific papers on it, which, yes, I looked them up. But there's this one research paper.
If I drop dead. That's so good.
And I think the reason that they focus on cats is because they talk about how, like, dogs are, like, there's the domesticated dog. But cats at no point are truly domesticated. Like, if you took your domesticated dog and you put them out in the wild, there's a good chance that they would die because they wouldn't know what they're doing. But cats, if cats get put out in the wild, they still have all of their natural instincts. They would just become feral cats, and they're not really a domesticated version of the cat. What you see at home is, like, playing is them trying to murder their toys or trying to murder your feet or technically trying to kill you. But they also love you, so it's fine. So what they found was that the consumption of two different human corpses by two different cats, and both of the cats displayed a taste for arm tissue. So they particularly like to eat your arms. But these bodies were donated to the Forensic Investigation Research Station, which in itself is amazing. It's called the Body Farm, and you can donate your body there. And then basically it's like this whole 2 acres desert, and they put bodies in different situations and they studied how they, the decomposition of them. Mm-hmm. So then they can help, like, law enforcement and coroners and medical examiners determine, like, in all these different scenarios, what would be naturally happening to a body, so then they can better tell what's not natural and when something's actually a homicide.
Damn, what a job.
Amazing.
Laura is switching careers. Work on the Body Farm.
I had actually heard about the Body Farm before, because you can donate your body there after you die, which I thought was super interesting in itself. But it's surrounded by a 10-foot high wire-topped fence that also extends 2 feet underground to keep out large animals and most burrowing ones. So, like, nobody's going to dig 2 feet under to get under there. They do say prairie dogs often frequently pop up, but they don't care about the body, so it's not a big deal. And also cats, skunks, and snakes can slip through the gaps under a front gate. And they have a bunch of cameras on the facility as well, because a lot of them moderate, like, it's part of some
like a panel
focus group or something.
Yeah, I got in there once, man. You gotta get the fresh bodies, not the ones that have been there for weeks. Oh, heck of a hairball.
Actually, that's kind of funny you said that. But so anyways. They're kind of close, like, they're really far away from any houses or anything, but they're not too far away from a landfill where feral cats live. And so they previously captured cats wandering around, like, the grasses inside the gates. But there was these two instances that they captured on camera where one black cat and one striped cat weren't wandering around. They were eating. And because they're predators, not scavengers, both of them were eating when the bodies were in the most early stages of decomposition. Mm-hmm. And then they left at the onset of moist decomposition, which is when the fluids begin leaking out of the body. And they were like, nope, this is my time here is done.
Moving on.
And so they also both ate all the way to the bone.
Oh, wow.
Although the cats had a buffet of more than 40 bodies from which they could choose, each of them returned to the same corpse that they'd started out with. One did nightly for 35 nights straight.
Wow.
Yes. Oof. But if you don't have cats, you shouldn't feel better, because beyond this, where they were doing it kind of in the wild, there's been other instances where other pets, such as dogs, hamsters, and birds have eaten parts of their deceased masters. In one case, there was a dog in Germany who was a healthy dog, had a full bowl of food, and instead consumed part of its owner within 45 minutes of the person dying.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like my dog would cry. But maybe they're like, maybe it's something to do with the soul. Like, oh, I can tell
they're gone.
Yeah, animals know shit that we don't know. Oh, yeah. Their soul's gone. Yeah. That's now meat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is fucked up. But keep going.
So anyway, so my thought was that if I killed Nick, even if it was just like a bad knife wound too, I picked his arm because as I've learned from my research, cats like arm tissue the best. Mm. So I thought if I did some deep cuts in his arm and then he bled out and then I left him locked in the room with our cats, that they would eat his arm tissue to the bone. So you would not be able to determine his cause of death because the actual like cuts and incisions wouldn't be there anymore.
They'd be cat poop.
Yeah. And it would just be bones, like skeletons on his arms.
That's crazy.
And they do it for 35 days straight.
How much do they get through it? 35 days is a long time.
I know. I don't know. They can eat a lot. Like they eat like a cup of food a day, maybe. It's like a cup of flesh a day. You could definitely get through two arms with two cats. Also, then I was like, maybe we should have kept Garbage Cat because that cat could eat a lot.
So what you're saying
is, he was younger, so he'd probably, and he didn't have the 10 years of loyalty that we have with our cats. So like you'd hit the floor and he'd be like, snack time, y'all. Whereas I'd like to think Bandit would spend at least an hour being like, miss you. Okay.
Nope. Oh, soul's gone.
Yeah.
Buffet. So what you're saying, your murder you described before is instead of killing, you know, presumably killing your dog and getting rid of it and blaming it, she should have just fed her husband to her dog.
Which other people have done, except for the one that I think I talked about this the last time we talked about pets, where the woman kept her husband like locked up in her basement. And then she was cutting pieces of his legs off while he was still alive and feeding them to her dog and like keeping him alive so she could feed pieces of him to her dog slowly. So they would be like fresh pieces instead of like the meat going bad.
Yeah, that's just messed up.
Although, but then obviously eventually he died from blood loss, so.
Although that does tie into my hypothetical murder.
Yes.
So one thing you don't know when you're rescuing or adopting a new pet is if it has any violent tendencies. Right? And some of them can nip, they could be defensive, they could have triggers. If they've been abused, you don't know. That's the risk, especially mm-hmm. with like older dogs. So my hypothetical plan is to find a dog fighting ring. I know, that's the easy part, right? No, just kidding. So find a dog fighting ring. That's the suspension of disbelief here. That's what that part is.
I don't think it's as hard as you think it is.
Probably not. But I mean, I think if they took one look at me and I said, hi, my name is Jeremy, they'd be like, yeah, I don't think we're going to let you in here, buddy.
That's true. They'd be like, no, I don't. Goodbye.
But I'll find a good dog, a real good violent dog, arrange for it to be brought to a shelter, and I'll end up.
Well, I think you could just, you know, you can like adopt dogs from shelters that say they have like violent tendencies and need work, and you just have to be like, I live by myself and this is where I'm going to train them and all this stuff. And you could just do that and, you know, not actually do any of the training of them.
That's true. Could do that as well. My thought was, after adopting this vicious dog, whether it's from a dog fighting ring or just a violent dog, while it adjusts to our other dog, we'll have to keep it separated. It has to sleep in our room. So I'll keep it in there. And while it's adjusting, I'm going to give it a taste for blood. That's where the human flesh part comes in. I don't know where I'm going to find that yet. That's TBD. Or it could be some other taste of blood. Either way. But they say once they have a taste for blood, it doesn't go.
You just have to like capture, so gross. You just have to capture like Kelly's blood.
Well, I wrote down in my notes that maybe I'll just draw my own blood and put that on the dog's food. I don't know. It's becoming like a vampire series.
Would the dog then get a taste specifically for you? Because my thought is if you gave it Kelly's blood, then it would like want more of her blood specifically.
You know, dogs can smell pretty good. So that's true. It might differentiate. But my thought was to wet after the dog has a sufficient taste for blood, wipe the blood on Kelly's neck, and then sick the dog on her and claim it went crazy. This adopted animal that we didn't know was so violent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan. Dog fighting.
There you go.
For my hypothetical, my very hypothetical murder.
I'm sure that you could get easily hooked up with a dog fighting rink anytime you want. Ring, not rink, but anytime you wanted.
I'll follow up on that next week. Shut that. Oh yeah, I think and my silver lining was that I would use it as an excuse to shut down the dog ring and do some good in the world.
Oh, two birds, one stone. There you go.
You know, murder with a heart of gold.
That's what your cover up would be. Would be, I was just trying to shut down this dog ring and it just got out of hand.
So that is our pet rescue episode.
Yeah. And I'm sure, because in this next little bit, we're going to actually go on a vacation again. So I feel like we might have some like revisiting of some vacation pet peeves.
That's a good idea.
For our next episode.
Yeah, we should do another.
Vacation pet peeves or like.
Theme park.
Yeah, theme park pet peeves. I'm excited. We haven't gone anywhere in quite some time. Looking forward to it. But until then, while marriage is messy,
murder is messier.